The time was 7:30 a.m., not late at all. The mechanism, which was the portable extension of Dr. Smile, connected by micro-relay to the computer itself in the basement level of Barney's own Connapt building in New York, the renowned 33, Tinnelly declared, "Ah, Mr. Mayerson."
"Mayerson," Barney corrected, smoothing his hair with fingers that shook. "What do you remember about last night?"
Now he saw, with intense physical aversion, half-empty bottles of bourbon and sparkling water, lemons, bitters, and ice cube trays on the sideboard in the kitchen.
"Who is this girl?"
Dr. Smile said, "This girl in the bed is Miss Rondinella Fugate, Ronnie, as she asked you to call her." It sounded vaguely familiar, and oddly, in some manner, tied up with his job.
"Listen," he said to the suitcase.
But then, in the bedroom, the girl began to stir. At once he shut off Dr. Smile and stood up, feeling humble and awkward in only his underpants.
"Are you up?"
the girl asked sleepily. She thrashed about and sat facing him, quite pretty, he decided, with lovely large eyes.
"What time is it, and did you put on the coffee pot?"
He tramped into the kitchen and punched the stove into life. It began to heat water for coffee. Meanwhile, he heard the shutting of a door. She had gone into the bathroom. Water ran. Ronnie was taking a shower. Again in the living room, he switched Dr. Smile back on.
"What's she got to do with pee-pee layouts?" he asked.
"Miss Fugate is your new assistant. She arrived yesterday from People's China, where she worked for PP Layouts as their pre-fash consultant for that region. However, Miss Fugate, although talented, is highly inexperienced, and Mr. Bolero decided that a short period as your assistant, I would say under you, but that might be misconstrued, considering."
"Great," Barney said.
He entered the bedroom, found his clothes. They had been deposited, no doubt, by him in a heap on the floor, and began with care to dress. He still felt terrible, and it remained an effort not to give up and be violently sick.
"That's right," he said to Dr. Smile as he came back to the living room, buttoning his shirt. "I remember the memo from Friday about Miss Fugate. She's erratic in her talent. Picked wrong on that U.S. Civil War picture window item. If you can imagine it, she thought it'd be a smash hit in People's China." He laughed.
The bathroom door opened a crack. He caught a glimpse of Ronnie, pink and rubbery and clean, drying herself.
"Did you call me, dear?"
"No," he said. "I was talking to my doctor."
"Everyone makes errors,"
Dr. Smile said, a trifle vacuously. Barney said, "How'd she and I happen to..." He gestured toward the bedroom. "After so short a time."
"Chemistry," Dr. Smile said.
"Come on."
"Well, you're both precogs. You previewed that you'd eventually hit it off, become erotically involved. So you both decided, after a few drinks, that why should you wait? Life is short. Art is..."
The suitcase ceased speaking, because Ronnie Fugate had appeared from the bathroom, naked, to pad past it and Barney back once more into the bedroom. She had a narrow, erect body, a truly superb carriage, Barney noted, and small, upjutting breasts with nipples no larger than matched pink peas. Or rather, matched pink pearls, he corrected himself. Ronnie Fugate said,
"I meant to ask you last night, why are you consulting a psychiatrist? And my lord, you carry it around everywhere with you. Not once did you set it down. And you had it turned on right up until..."
She raised an eyebrow and glanced at him searchingly.
"At least I did turn it off then," Barney pointed out.
"Do you think I'm pretty?"
Rising on her toes, she all at once stretched, reached above her head. Then, to his amazement, began to do a brisk series of exercises, hopping and leaping, her breasts bobbing.
"I certainly do," he murmured.